Psalm 72, and this is God's word. Of Solomon. Endow the king with your justice, O God, the royal son with your righteousness. May he judge your people in righteousness, your afflicted ones with justice. May the mountains bring prosperity to the people, the hills the fruit of righteousness. May he defend the afflicted among the people and save the children of the needy. May he crush the oppressor. May he endure as long as the sun, as long as the moon, through all generations. May he be like rain falling on a mown field, like showers watering the earth. In his days may the righteous flourish and prosperity abound till the moon is no more. May he rule from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. May the desert tribes bow before him and his enemies lick the dust. May the kings of Tarshish and of distant shores bring tribute to him. May the kings of Sheba and Seba present him with gifts. May all kings bow down to him and all nations serve him. For he will deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no one to help. He will take pity on the weak and the needy and save the needy from death. He will rescue them from oppression and violence, for precious is their blood in his sight. Long may he live. May gold from Sheba be given to him. May people ever pray for him and bless him all day long. May corn abound throughout the land. On the tops of the hills may it sway. May the crops flourish like Lebanon and thrive like the grass of the field. May his name endure forever. May it continue as long as the sun. Then all nations will be blessed through him, and they will call him blessed. Praise be to the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does marvelous deeds. Praise be to his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. And this concludes the prayers of David, son of Jesse.
This weekend we remember wars and conflicts, past and present, of course, as well. And it seems as though there is still so much unrest in the world, so many conflicts, so many wars, so many people suffering, so many people still losing their lives. And on a day like this, of course, where do we turn to? Well, we turn to God's word. And God's word will always encourage us, strengthen us, and fortify us. And not least, of course, Psalm 72. Psalm 72, of course, speaks about the great king. The king who will rule over all the earth. It's an amazing psalm. Amazing in many ways. It's a royal psalm because it has to do with the king. It's a prophetic psalm because it has to do with the future. And it's a messianic psalm because it has to do with Jesus, who is the Messiah. The title says, A Psalm of Solomon. Well, it could mean that either the psalm was written about Solomon or it was written by Solomon. Most likely it was written by Solomon as he prays for God's blessing upon his reign as king. But however, more importantly, it's a messianic psalm. Because in one sense it looks forward to Jesus. And it describes Jesus' future reign and his reign over history and over the world. And ultimately, over all mankind. And if I was to summarize this psalm in just a sentence, it would be this: Jesus will reign over all the earth, so let us rejoice. Jesus will reign over all the earth, so let us rejoice. How will he reign? Well, in verses 1 to 4, we are told that he will reign in justice. The whole psalm begins with a prayer to endow the King of Justice, a royal son, Jesus, who stands in a rightful way of the kings. And it seems to me he'll stand in justice in three ways. First of all, he stands in justice. Why? Because he shares God's righteousness. Only Jesus can share God's righteousness. Why? Because he's God. The writer of the Hebrews says, about the Son, he says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. Sceptre of justice will be a sceptre of justice for me. Jesus here addressed God and the one who shares the very throne of God. Jesus is full of righteousness. And because he is full of righteousness, therefore he can judge. John says in 5:22, moreover, the Father judges no one. He has entrusted all judgment to the Son. Because God knows that his Son will judge in perfect justice. Ultimately, God, through his Son, will administer justice to all nations. And thirdly, in verse 4, we read, he will crush the oppressor. You know, very often throughout the world and throughout history, it's the poor that are often overlooked, often discarded, often, of course, persecuted. However, Jesus, as the righteous judge, will judge all. He will crush, we read here, those who oppress. So there is hope. As we look in the world and we see so many people have been oppressed, so many people, of course, who have to suffer injustice. But we read here that God, through his Son, who is perfect righteousness, will ultimately judge. And he will bring injustice to an end. So we rejoice in the fact with the psalmist who tells us that Jesus will reign, and he will reign in justice now and forever and ultimately to the end of all times. And verse 5 to 7, of course, they reinforce that. We read, may he endure as long as the sun, as long as the moon, through all generations. In his days may the righteous flourish, prosperity abound, until the moon is no more. What is the psalmist saying? He's saying that Jesus, the righteous King, will last forever. Jesus will outlast the sun, the moon. It was C.H. Spurgeon who said, his kingdom will outlast everything. Days and nights will cease before he ever abdicates a throne. In other words, what we're reading here is Jesus is ultimate control. And his control is forever, to the end of time and beyond. And we're told, of course, that all, unlike all the kingdoms of the earth, his kingdom will never cease. It will go on. We're also told that Jesus will bring great blessing upon his people, not only now but forever and beyond creation. What do we read in Revelation 7:17? For the Lamb is the center of the throne. He will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes. The psalmist is looking forward to that day when Jesus will wipe away every tear. He will be in total control. We're talking about his endless reign, and with it, of course, endless security. Isn't that a wonderful thing for the believer? To know that we have one who is not only in control, but will be in control forever. He controls our destiny. He controls our eternal security. He controls our destination. And if we know what it is to trust and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, that destination, of course, is heaven. That eternity in his presence. Jesus will reign, not only in justice here and now upon the earth, but he will reign forever. And those who know him and love him, and if that's your position this morning, you too will enjoy his reign forever in heaven. So he will reign in righteousness. He will reign forever. And then in verses 8 and 11, may he rule from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. He will rule over all the nations. That's a tremendous encouragement. Jesus will not only reign in righteousness forever, but he will reign everywhere. No one will escape. The boundaries, we read, have no limit as far as Jesus' control is. And the river we talk about here is probably the river Euphrates. And what we're saying is from sea to sea, what is an expression meaning the whole earth. In verse 8, may he rule from sea to sea, from the river Euphrates to the end of the earth. There is no limit to the reign and sovereignty of Jesus. No one else has so much power. No one else has so much authority. That's why he said to the disciples, when he sent them out with that great commission, go into the whole world and make disciples of all nations, the gospel to go everywhere. And in verse 9, of course, may the desert tribes bow before him and his enemies lick the dust. One of the difficulties, of course, of earthly kings and earthly monarchs and rulers, their boundaries are only enlarged by subduing enemies. But we're told in Corinthians, of course, he must reign until he's put all enemies under his feet. Jesus will have ultimate authority in that respect. Every knee one day will bow down before him. That's a tremendous encouragement. Not only his enemies will bow down before him, but even the most powerful will have to bow the knee. May the kings of Tarshish and the distant shores bring tributes to him. May the kings of Sheba and Sheba bring present him with gifts. What a tremendous picture. Those with the greatest power and the greatest authority one day will bow before the King of Kings. That must be a tremendous encouragement for those who feel oppressed and who feel downtrodden. For the poor and the hungry and the despised. That the King will one day rule and crush all who stand against him. Not only will he, of course, recognize his power, but have to acknowledge him as king. Isaiah says, 65, verse 5, the wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox, and dust the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy the holy mountain. Nobody can stand before the king. And Paul says in Philippians that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and earth and under the earth. Every tongue will acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. What a wonderful promise. For all who are going through those conflicts and problems and difficulties and wars and persecution, They know and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to have that absolute assurance that one day, every knee will bow before him. How wonderful. How marvellous. The psalmist looking forward to the great reign of the great King. How wonderful, Jesus will rule from sea to sea. His enemies will bow before him. The kings and rulers will bring tributes before him. And the nations will serve him. What a wonderful picture of Jesus. Our wonderful King. Is he your King? Is he your Jesus? If so, you'll know that authority. That one day you will stand with him. Jesus reigns in righteousness. He will reign forever. He will reign over all the nations. And then in verses 12 to 14, he will be there to help the weak and the needy. For he will deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no one to help. He will take pity on the weak and the needy. That's a tremendous promise. If we know what to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, he will always be there for us. Whatever our situation, whatever our problem, whatever our difficulty, whatever we're hurting, he is there. We're told, of course, that he's only a cry away. And he never misses a cry for help. That's our King of Kings. That's the one whom we love and serve. That's the one who is ultimately in control and has all authority. He's the one, whenever we feel hurting, whatever we need some help and support, he's the one that we cry to. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I've got a quote from somebody who said, Jesus never misses a prayer. Jesus never misses a prayer. Isn't that wonderful? Whatever your situation or circumstance, whatever you're going through at any one time, he's only a prayer away. That's a wonderful blessing if you're a believer this morning. Only a prayer away. He never sleeps. He never nods off. He's always there, attentive to us. And this, of course, has a particular relevance for you this morning, if you don't know him as your prayer, as your Lord and Saviour. If you've never come to him and asked him to come and confess your sin and ask him to forgive you and to accept you into his kingdom. If you've never done that, if you've never turned to the Lord, Paul says in Romans 10:13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Have you done that? Have you called on the name of the Lord and asked him to forgive you? Forgive your sin and accept you into his kingdom, into his love, into his presence? To bring him that wonderful relationship with him, have you ever done that? If not, why not? Came across a lovely illustration one day. There's a group of men walking and they were looking for some walking sticks, ash sticks. And they came across some. One man said, when's the best time to pick an ash stick? One guy said, oh, when the sap's rising, that's the best time. Another guy said, no, when the sap's going down, that's the best time. The third man said, pick it now because it might not be there when you come back. When's the best time to follow Jesus? Now. Who knows what tomorrow brings? If you've never come and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, everyone who calls on him will be saved. Have you ever done that? If not, why not? Don't put it off. It's a cry for help. It's a cry for mercy. And it's a cry that he will hear and he will answer and bring you into a loving relationship with him that you can share in this wonderful security that he alone can bring. But we're told also in verse 13, he will take pity on the weak and the burdened. And if you feel you're struggling and you're suffering, here's one who can answer your need. He will take pity on the weak and the needy. He knows when you're going through a difficult time. He knows when the things is hard and the way is difficult, all the problems and everything comes upon you. He knows. He's only a prayer away. He said in Matthew 11, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I alone will give you rest." If you know what it is to bring your problems and difficulties to him, the psalmist says, look to Jesus. He's the king. He's full of righteousness. He alone can answer the problem of your needs. And then we have verse 14. He will rescue them from oppression and violence, for precious is their blood in his sight. I'm given to understand that the word rescue here can also mean redeem, purchase, buy back. He will buy back, he will redeem, he will rescue. We're precious to him if we know him and love him and we have his protection ongoing. And we're so precious that he gave his life on a cross. Peter said, it was not with perishable things as silver and gold that we were redeemed, but the precious blood of Christ. Christ gave his life on our cruel cross that we might know him and love him and enjoy that eternal security and rest and protection that he alone can bring and he alone can give. So we've seen this wonderful psalm looking forward to the great King of Kings, Jesus. The one who will reign in righteousness. The one who will judge perfectly. The one who will reign forever. The one who has control over all the nations. The one who was always there for the weak and the needy. But then he goes on in verses 15 to 20, saying that his reign will be blessed and will be a blessing. His reign will be blessed and be a blessing. Revelation 5:12 says, "Worthy the Lamb that was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory." Jesus is a source of all blessing. Paul says in Ephesians 1:3, "Praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing." Isn't that wonderful? He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. We were talking about this on Thursday evening. I think it was Glenn who said, "Doesn't it blow the mind? Doesn't it blow the mind," he said, "to know that we're blessed by God?" And it's true. It blows the mind. We're blessed by God. Isn't that a wonderful position to be in? And if you're a believer this morning, you are blessed by God. And you're a blessing to him. Jesus' reign is marked by blessing. He has so many things he wants to share with us. So many things he wants to bring to us. So many good gifts he wants to shower upon us. So many things he wants to encourage us with and bless us with. And he wants all nations, the whole world, to know his power, his majesty, his love, and his blessings. It's a wonderful thing to be blessed. You know what it is to trust and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You are truly blessed. Not of yourself. It's all of him. And if we're a believer this morning, we are blessed. Never lose sight of that. We are blessed. We take it for granted. So often, we just go with it. But there are times when you have to stop and just read his word and say, "My, I'm blessed. blessed because I know what it is to have peace and rest. I know what it is to be forgiven of my sins. I know what it is to have a relationship with God through his Son. I know what it is to have an eternal security, to be with him forever in heaven. Once came across a lovely picture of heaven. And you know, if you read in Revelation, we read that the streets are paved with gold and the diamonds were ornate. You know, all the precious things of the world, gold and precious stones, well, they're just ornaments in heaven, because there are far greater things. The presence of God. You feel blessed this morning? Praise God. If not, why not? But in turn, of course, what he's speaking of here, that we in turn might be a blessing to others. And how can we be a blessing to others? Well, by the way that we treat people, by the way we acknowledge people, the way we help people, the way we show them Jesus. The way we show them Jesus. We can be a blessing as we speak of our faith and our love for Jesus, as we demonstrate it and live it out day to day. And Jesus wants this for all nations. That's what he says. May all the nations be blessed. All the nations will be blessed through him, and they will call him blessed. With peace speaking on Thursday evening, we were reminded of the fact, of course, that we owe a great deal. You know, Jesus said, go into all the nations and preach the gospel, because he wants all peoples to know and to be blessed. And we just commented on the tremendous work, of course, of the Bible translators. Not only missionaries over the years, of course, who've gone out with a message to all the corners of the earth, but those wonderful Bible translators, even now, are seeking to bring God's word to every tongue and every language. So the promise to Abraham, of course, all nations will be blessed. And we read here again. All nations will be blessed. And then the final verses, of course, at 18 to 20, they're tremendous again. Praise be to the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does marvelous deeds. Praise his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen. And amen. A double amen. So be it, Lord. This, of course, closes the second book of Psalms, which is 42 to 72. And that's why David is named at the end, of course. He wrote the majority of the books in this section. He gives praise to God of Israel, who alone does marvelous deeds. It's a prayer for the whole earth to be filled with his glory and his reign to be over all the earth. What a wonderful prayer that is. Again, we read in Revelation 5:13, to him who sits on the throne be praise and honor and glory. Praise be to his glorious name forever and ever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. What a wonderful, encouraging psalm this is. Especially on this day. A day of remembrance when we remember all who suffered and many who gave their lives, not only for our freedom, but even now are suffering persecution. We have one who is in total control. The one who, of course, will ultimately reign and subdue all nations and bring all his people to himself to be with him in heaven. Again, Revelation 5:9, and they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals because we're slain with the blood and the purchase of God. Persons from every tribe and nation, you will make them a kingdom on earth and God will reign. This psalm is a wonderful psalm. Prayer for Jesus the Messiah, for all his people, for all who will put their trust and faith in him, for all who will look to him and to know him. Jesus will reign in justice. He will reign forever. He will reign over all the earth. He will help the weak and the needy. He will rejoice, be blessed, and be a blessing. And amen and amen, we could say rejoice and rejoice. Came across this quote, it says this: Jesus establishes his kingdom in the hearts and lives of all believers. He brings peace with God and eternal security in heaven, a lasting peace in our lives and hearts. Do you have this peace? If not, why not?